You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Hey there, Hillsiders. Today we have Pastor Jeff Young of Life Church Chico. It's a Foursquare church. He is our guest speaker. He's here with his wife, Carissa, and their four kids. I was going to say four wonderful kids, but I'll let him tell stories about that. I think they're pretty great myself. And I am thankful to have Jeff come and speak to us today for many reasons. For some of you, this may be the first time you're interacting with him. I met Jeff as he was under the age of 10. I've known him most of his life. He was in our church in Carson City. He was in my youth group. And it's such a neat thing to see him grow into a man that I love and respect and I'm proud to call my friend. I talk to him multiple times a week on Marco Polo, and we process life together and we talk through things, and neither one of us has figured stuff out. But he epitomizes for me the scripture that says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I am sharpened by Jeff Young and my relationship with him. And one of the great gifts God has given to me in my life at this time is a relationship and a friendship with this man and with his family. And so I know you're going to enjoy him. Matter of fact, I can't introduce him without saying this. He has calves that are on point. Ever since he was a little guy, he's had these calves that are just like, it makes you believe that there's a God who creates things when you see these calves. Anyway, I love this guy, and I'm so thankful he's going to be pouring into us on this Father's Day. Let's welcome Jeff as he comes. Love you, buddy.
I should have worn more shorts, apparently. In fact, just so you know, you can obviously saw me crutch up here, and this is only the second time I've worn pants in over a month. I had surgery at the beginning of May, and so that way you don't have to ask me, what'd you do? Because I've answered that 7 times already, maybe 16 times, I'm not sure. I don't mind answering, it's just it gets shorter and shorter every time, and then by the end of like the last person asking it, I think they feel like they're offended that they asked me because I was a little too short, you know? It was all from kicking a rock, so don't kick rocks. I was up on a run on Susanville, and halfway through the run, in a nice, beautiful, shady spot, I went, this is so great. It's going so well. And then I clipped a rock, and my knee went, nope, and it broke my cartilage. And so I finished the run, which was probably not wise, and then a year later had surgery. So here I am. And I was supposed to be actually walking today, and not on crutches, but when Pastor Louis asked me to speak, I had the surgery all planned out. It was all good to go. I was supposed to be walking by now, but then they delayed it by 3 weeks. And so I thought, well, I can't say no to Louie now. Like, this is no way I'm going to do that. And so I really just feel so honored to be here. It's really incredible. Typically, I would be not sitting. I'm not a sitter. I am more like a coach. I want to move around and get people involved and activated and just encouraged. And so it's really rare that I sit. But I've had to sit a lot lately, and it's really boring me out. Anybody like me in the room? Thank you. You relate with me. I had all these plans, but they didn't work out. I'm just recovering. So this is the first time I've preached since Mother's Day, which I was telling somebody, like, as I was prepping for this, I'm like, I have, like, 15 sermons in one. So for all of Father's Day, we're just going to go till tomorrow, if that's okay with you guys. That way you guys can just get, like, 6 or 7 sermons worth that I haven't been preaching. So it really is an honor being here, though. I just love Pastor Louie and Joni just seriously so much, and the Locke family. It's amazing because I grew up at Fountainhead Foursquare in Carson City, and my memory serves me right. I think I was around kindergarten, maybe a little bit before that, 4 or 5 years old. And right now, my 3 boys are with some other Locke boys in children's ministry. And if it's anything like it was at Fountainhead, they might be coming back in here while I'm preaching. So if they do, please just don't look at them. Don't shame them. I will take care of things later. I'm a father of 4 kids with my wife, Carissa, and Noelle's up front with us. And then we've got 3 younger boys. And so it's just a joy to actually be preaching on Father's Day. It's an honor and something that I don't take lightly. Whenever we get to open up the Word of God, we should take some seriousness with it. We should think of the Word of God as sacred, because it is. And I just would love for you to join me with, sometimes I'll tell our church in Chico, by the way, I'm from Chico. We've been pastoring there for 10 years. Sometimes it's really easy to get in a rut, especially just kind of Sunday in, Sunday out, the typical churchgoer. It gets so easy to go, well, we go to church, and where do you want to go to lunch? And that's fine, but I just want to encourage you today and for the rest of your life, whenever we open up the Word of God, be ready to expect that He would move, that He'd speak to you. So like I tell our church, would you just, in your heart, you don't have to do this, but be on the edge of your seat, be anticipating that the Lord would speak to you, because He wants to. He wants to share something through His Word, through this guy up here, who's got all the weaknesses in the world, to just simply come humbly before you and share the Word of God. So let me pray real quick, and then we'll just jump right in. So Jesus, we invite you this morning. Holy Spirit, I am so grateful for who you are. Lord, that you bring truth to light. You give us awareness. You show up and you reveal yourself to us in the way in which we need it. Lord, I thank you that your perfect love casts out fear, and your perfect love is perfect for each and every one of us the way you made us. So Lord, speak to your children this morning. Speak to us here this morning, and just have your way. Lord, may we walk away on this Father's Day saying, I'll remember that because the Lord spoke to me. Because you transformed my heart, you changed the way I think, you brought scripture to light, you brought freedom where I was a captive. So Lord, have your way in this moment, in Jesus' mighty name. I wanna just give a really quick shout out to Pastor Louis and Joni. We visited here, I don't know, like 3 years ago or so, and we just hung out with them, and we got to go to their house and stay with them for quite a few days, and it was just such a blessing. And one of the things that I took away from that was I think it's kind of a phrase that you might use here. It was back then when I came a couple years ago. It was progress, not perfection. And that is something, I think Joni might have said it from the platform, and I went, I'm taking that home. If you're like me at all, I'm like, anytime I go to church, I'm like, what can we take back to just like help our church just to whatever? And that progress, not perfection. The Lord sees you right where you are right now, and it's okay where you're at, and He just wants to walk with you through this next steps. And so it's not about having perfection through the door. It's coming to Christ, who is perfection. And He's the one who walks us through these steps. And so I love that so much about who the Lord is, that He is just walking with us. He's meeting you where you're at right this moment. And I will always hold that near and dear. And it's really shaped a lot of our church. We've been pastoring for 10 years in Chico. I know I only look 15, but we've been there for 10 years. And it has just been one of those things that it's been the crucible of leadership. It has been the refiner's fire. It has been everything challenging and everything good at the same time. It's the both and. It's the living in the now and later. It's like, oh my goodness, what a challenge it is. But without pastors and leaders in my life, we would not be where we are. So the pastors here, the friendships that we have, we're doing a thing called U40, which was pastors under the age of 40, and that was a real marker where other pastors would come together and just lean in on one another and share life together. And it wasn't about what are you preaching on; it was how are you doing, how's your life. So if there's groups here, get involved, get connected, be involved, get connected on a team, do whatever you need to do to be connected with other individuals. And that is such a dynamic thing to do. So moving on to my sermon, I want to just share with you, as I was praying about this and talking to Pastor Louis and saying, hey, would you like me to you know, kind of hit on? And he said tithe. And I just said, no, I don't think that's appropriate. Just... I want to wait on that one. No, I'm just kidding. One of the conversations that we really talked about was spiritual mothers and fathers. Pastor Louis, Peggy, I mean, I was a wee little kid running around at your church. I had no idea what you were preaching on. But you guys made a place for me to know who the Lord was and to grow in my faith. without them as my spiritual mother and father in those moments of growth, I promise I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be pastoring. I probably wouldn't have the family that I have. We need spiritual mothers and fathers. And so as I was thinking about this, I was just kind of just reading and asking the Lord and thinking about what he's done in my life. And he really just talked about, I have a real passion for understanding who has God made me to be. Who has he made me to be? Because when we begin to hone in on that, the Lord really begins to reveal a lot more about what you're supposed to be doing. And this title of the sermon is called, Know Who You're Not. Know Who You Aren't. It is something that as I've gotten older, as I've allowed the Lord to just simply say, Lord, here I am, you know, speak to my heart, mold me, shape me, speak life to me. He has began to reveal more and more of, I'm definitely not Pastor Louie. And that is a beautiful thing. When you begin to realize that you're not the person that you want to be, you know, like comparison, you begin to actually celebrate them. And you begin to encourage them and equip them and partner with them and team with them instead of battling. And wouldn't it be unique that the enemy would want us to all battle each other and compare with one another, whether it's in this house or this church versus that church or different types of models of churches? Who cares? We're all in the kingdom of God, the family of God. So a family is one who lifts up and equips and edifies, like Paul says in Corinthians. And I began to think about this in the story of John the Baptist. So I want you to open up to John chapter 1, if you would. John chapter 1. And just to begin to think about who am I, but really, who am I not? How do I say that appropriately? I am not an English major. Who aren't I? No, that doesn't work either. I don't know. I knew this would be hard, but, you know, in a world today where the world really wants to identify you, to label you, to tell you who they think you are, to put you in a category, in a world that is really ferocious, I think, about this, you've got to be able to stand your ground and understand who God's made you to be. And in that, you also understand who God has made you not to be. And I tell you what, there's so much freedom in this. So know who you aren't. The problem that the world sees, or that I know, is that I have a God who created me. So I already have an identity that cannot be reshaped or reformed by anything else other than Christ himself. So if I know that the world... when I say the world, I'm talking about a cultural movement. I'm talking about those who are so far from God, who want to put these labels and identities on anyone and everyone who's willing to listen. We have to stand our ground and say, no, I have a creator who's made me and formed me and fashioned me and who gets to talk to me and tell me who he has made. And so I always come back to this. You already have a God who's given you this purpose, this planned identity, and you only have to come to him to ask. Two scriptures real quick. You've probably heard of this one, of course, in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork. Other messages would say, translations would say, masterpiece. Look at the person next to you and be like, you are a masterpiece. Do not say you're a piece of work, all right? That doesn't go well for most people. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's prepared a way for you. But if I'm thinking I'm supposed to be like or be somebody else, I'm going to miss the mark on what God has for me already in the history of the Lord. So he's already kind of formed and fashioned this path for me. And if I'm not connected to him, man, it is so easy to go, well, I feel like, whoop, that's good. But nope, oh, no, I'm over here. And so we want to stay like just so locked in to who the Lord has made us to be. Isaiah 43:1, I quote this all the time. It's just a passage that's been in part of my heart and my life for so long. Maybe some people would call it a life verse. But it says this, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. So don't fear. How many of us struggle with fear? Do not fear. I, says the Lord, I have redeemed you. In other words, I've made you whole. But not only that, I've summoned you, I've called you by name. So the Lord knows your name. He knows who he's made you to be. He's got a plan and a purpose for you to go forward, to move and to do what he's asking of you. I've called you by name, and by the way, you're mine. I'll share real quick. I was in the Navy right out of high school. I could not wait to get out of Carson City. Anybody else with me on that one? Sorry, pastors. I was ready. I was ready to, but I knew I didn't want to go to college. I knew that wouldn't be good for me for whatever reason. And I thought my life was on track with the Lord. I thought, man, I'm solid in the Lord. And then I found out what the real world was like without any believers in my life. And I just went poof, every direction you could possibly go other than following the Lord. But in a miraculous event, I was driving my two friends who had just partied all night long. I was driving them home through the streets of Japan. Actually, it was more like the mountains of Japan where we were. And I ended up getting into a head-on car collision. I tried to pass this truck who was going super slow forever, and it was rainy, and it was really, really just so frustrating. And then, you know, I had this conviction in me that was just making me frustrated. What am I doing? This is so not what the Lord's asked of me. And I'm just like, I can't wait to get home. I just want to be done with this. I want to be done. So I start passing this car. I get around this truck, and what does he do? He speeds up. So what? He's a box truck. I've got a sedan, floor it, let's go. So I floor it, and all of a sudden I realize I'm going way too fast. I'm not past him, and I have another car coming my way. I'm going really fast. And then to make matters worse, it was raining a little bit, so the streets were wet. I had a mountain on this side, the truck on this side, a creek even over there, and a car coming at me. I had no place to go. Sometimes we feel like that, right, in life. We're just like, I have no place to go. But sometimes that's the best place to be. Because right then and there, I just like, put on my brakes. I think we slid for over a football field. And we slammed head on. The guys in my car were unbuckled. One flew into the windshield, shattered the whole windshield with his head, and bounced back. To this day, it was a miracle that we all survived. Afterward, I had some time of hashing it out with the Lord. I was so frustrated. Lord, you told me to go to the Navy. I'm all alone. What are you doing? And he said, you're mine. I've got a plan for you. And he would say that to every single one of us in this room. His love for you is great. That verse is, I've just had that verse on my heart ever since that accident. One of the things I wanted to say is when you don't know who you aren't, the world will tell you who you are. And I just want to continually come back to the Lord with a humble heart that says, speak to me, no matter where I'm at in life, by the way. Because every season of life might have a new destination. And in that walk, you want to continually ask the Lord, am I on the right path? Are you still asking this of me as I walk this out? When I was in the Navy, I was incredibly full, like any 18-year-old young man. Sorry if there are any in here, but you are full of pride, most likely, and arrogance, and you think you know it all. And the reality is you just don't. And the older I get, the more I realize I really still don't. And the reality of that is I have to go back to the Lord even more. Like, that is a spiritual discipline I have got to continually build up in my heart that says I've got to come back to the Lord continually at all times. The sad reality is when you're in the military, if you're competent and you're good at doing tasks and you don't mind having people tell you what to do, you actually do great. So I was actually doing really well in the Navy, But my life, I was drowning in the Navy. I was so completely and utterly lost. I had a struggle with fear of man that I had no clue about. And then I was reading my Bible and I realized Colossians 3:23, in everything that you do, work at it with all your heart as if working for the Lord and not for man. And so I just put this perspective in my life, and I had this fear of man, this people-pleasing attitude that I could never fail because I wanted to appease people. I wanted to please them. I wanted to make sure they knew that I was good, that they could count on me, that I would be anything to everybody at all times. Paul kind of says that, but he says it in a way that says it's to get the gospel into their life. It's not so that you can look good for them. And I just ended up spreading myself so thin, and it never, ever worked out. I had no clue who it was, therefore I didn't know who I wasn't, so I tried to be everything to everybody. And I imagine that there's some of you probably feeling this, like, man, I understand. I have this challenge in front of me that I'm always trying to please people. And I want to just maybe invite you to reframe it and go, am I pleasing the Lord? One of my favorite quotes is, good leadership says no often. Good job, Peggy. Continue to say no when the Lord tells you to. Sometimes you got to say no way more than you say yes. I'm passionate about personality tests because of all this. I want to continually ask the Lord. I want to take all these, like, if you know Strength Finder, this is a personality assessment that basically you take it and it tells you what you're really strong in, because back in the day it would always tell you what you're really weak in, and then they would always say, well, you need to work better and work harder at what you're weak in so that you can kind of balance out. And they went, no, be terrible at the things you're terrible about. Like, that's fine, but strive and excel in what you're good at. And through this, it actually begins to form and fashion how you work, how you operate within your context of your family, of your workplace, wherever you're at, because you understand, man, you know what? I am not an administrator. Anybody else with me on this? Finances for me, I'm sorry. If you ask me to take over finance, we are going in the hole quickly. I like spending money. Anybody else with me? Okay. I just know what I'm not good at, but it's because I keep on striving after the Lord. And hey, you have to be a little bit humble to invite the Lord to say, hey, you're not really good at that. Maybe you should ask somebody else to do this. So maybe if you're really weak in some areas, you invite some others who are really good in those areas, and you bolster one another. You strengthen one another. You encourage one another. I was sitting at a soccer practice listening to a podcast about one of these assessments, and I'm sitting there, and I was like, you know what? I've had a crazy busy week. My youngest son is playing soccer, which he's probably the last person that should play soccer, but that's okay. It was a good waste of time. Don't tell him I said that. And so I get to the park, and, you know, people are kind of sitting around, parents, and usually, you know, I try to engage a little bit, but this time I was like, you know what? I just want to put in my ear pods. I want to listen to this podcast. I want to kind of go be alone for a little bit. And so I'm listening to this podcast, and it's talking about this specific personality assessment that I was learning about. And all of a sudden, it just began to hit on, like, who I've been made to be is someone who wants to help others excel and to get to their best. And it finally hit me. Just, it was like the Lord said, this is who I've made you to be. And I literally, no joke, I started weeping out in the soccer field, all alone, under a tree. These people were like, do we need to help his son? Like, do we need to call his mom? Because, are you okay, sir? I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just like, do I need to go to my car? Because I'm like, oh, the Lord just, it was like he just touched my heart. And it melted. And I begin to understand why I'm pastoring even more. Because I have a true passion to see that the people, that each of every one of you in this room would see the Lord Jesus like I do, that you'd feel and experience his love, the freedom that he offers, and in the fear that's so, like, pressed down on me. It was a moment. And if you've never had a moment like that, I just want to just spend some time with Jesus, because he loves you. He loves you deeply. John chapter 1. I want to talk about John the Baptist. I asked my older son, I said, hey, as I was preparing for this, I knew I was going to hit on John the Baptist here in chapter 1. And I say, hey, what do you know about John the Baptist? And he goes, you mean creepy John? Anybody watch The Chosen? If you haven't, I want to encourage you to watch it. I hope that's okay. It's incredible. And I'm like, that's right, he's creepy John. He's a weirdo. But man, he knew his mission. And we're going to see that right here. Verse 1, it says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Excuse me, in verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And verse 5 is what I want to hit on real quick. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You guys, this is a critical passage, one of the most critical passages about who Jesus is in the entire Word of God. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but the word light is used over 36 times in the book of John. It's important. It's incredibly important that we understand that Jesus is the light. And the darkness has not overcome the light. Sometimes it feels like things get so dark, so heavy, and it's because there's a void of light. So if you're in a quote-unquote, some people say a dark place, I just want to encourage you. Bring the light of Jesus. Invite the light in the presence that produces life. You know there would be zero life without light? There would be no life at all, period. No oxygen, no trees, no flowers, no planet without light. And Jesus, with a word, spoke it. Jesus, with a word, can speak light into your dark place. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, of darkness, he is with me. So I invite the Lord to be this presence, this light that quickens my soul, that says, no darkness can overcome the light within me. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it. This word darkness or overcome, it means to take hold or seize. So darkness has no hold, it has no grasp, it has no ability to seize you because Christ is in you. Darkness can never extinguish the light of Jesus. If there's one thing you take from today, maybe it's that I want to continually invite the power and the presence and the light of Christ within me that would just propel me forward. And then as the light begins to shine forth in and through you, people around you at your workplace or your school or wherever you might be on your Zoom calls, because that's what we do now. Anybody else hate Zoom? Oh my gosh, I'm praying it away in Jesus' name. Except unless you're earning money through it, then okay, bless you. But don't invite me to it. I was asked to speak in Mexico. We go down there pretty much every year with our church. And in Mexico, you'll build a house is what we do. And we partner with YWAM through that. And it's really, it's an incredible week that we go down and build a house. And it's just fantastic. But in the evenings, you usually go do some outreach. And so we went to this little community. And it was actually called San Francisco. I would much prefer to go to that San Francisco than the real San Francisco here in California. As I'm there, of course, because I'm the pastor, well, then you have to speak. But they didn't ask me to ahead of time, so I'm like, all right, game on. Okay, Lord, here we go. And luckily, I, you know, kind of usually have some dose of the Word of God, most likely every day, and I'm kind of just asking the Lord whatever he's speaking to me. And so I began to share the story. And there was this crowd of people around listening and stuff, and they're translating, and the entire time, there's a guy in a black hoodie far on the outskirts, and I'm just thinking, I don't know what's going on with that guy. It's weird how you can preach, or you can be up here and you're talking, but then you also have these sub-thoughts that are kind of really unique, and I'm thinking about this guy while I'm preaching, and I'm just going, this guy is dark. he's like covered in a cloud of darkness. It is apparent. And so I'm thinking like, okay, I'm kind of preaching this mini message, and I get over and we pray, and then we invite people, hey, if you need prayer for anything, like, just, we would love to pray with you. And we had to cut some translators. And so this guy from all the way, like way back, he just kind of makes his way, and I'm thinking, okay, here we go. I don't know what's going to happen. And this is what he said. I just feel darkness. And I said, look at me. Just look at me. Jesus sees you. And Jesus knows what you need. And I was able to pray for him right then and there. And I just, in Jesus' mighty name, said no to the darkness. And that the light of Christ would come. And luckily enough, it was super random, but then there was a pastor that was in this village who was right there. And I said, you two are connecting tomorrow. And this guy changed his demeanor almost immediately. And I totally believe that that's the light of Christ that would come in into a moment just like that. Darkness invades when the light grows dim. Darkness invades when the light grows dim. Friends, don't let that light grow dim. If you're struggling in your faith, invite somebody to speak into your life. If you're struggling in your relationships, invite somebody to speak life. And somebody, when I say somebody who's connected to Jesus. Somebody who you know, who you trust, who would say, what is the Lord saying? Let's look at the word together, because this brings life. John chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 says this: there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest man. That's pretty impressive, because Jesus was also a man. Do you ever think about that? So here's John the Baptist, the greatest man to ever live. Sorry, guys. Happy Father's Day. You might be third. John the Baptist, Jesus, and then it's a draw. But he says he's a witness to the light, the greatest man. He could have brought thousands to him. He could have went to the temples and started preaching the lights out. He could have gathered thousands and thousands of followers, and yet he was creepy John. He knew what his role was, that he was going to preach in the wilderness, and that he was going to have a ministry that did one thing: point to Jesus. This is the greatest man, according to Jesus. So sometimes I have to go, Jeff, you need to get over yourself. Like, you're not that important. Your role, your pastor, oh, ooh. Like, you have one job. And that's the point to Jesus. He was not the light. He was only a witness to the light. And it reminded me of my friend Dwight Schrute, assistant to the regional manager. We're just a witness to the light. But friends, people need to see the light in you first. And I love that the Lord has made you all unique in all your incredible, wonderful, beautiful ways, that you are going to connect with people that the Lord has put in your network. He didn't put me there. You're there. You're exactly where God wants you right now. You might not like it. You might not like your Zoom meetings, but you're to be a witness to the light. You're actually supposed to be a spiritual mother and father to those around you who have no understanding of who God is, or who are like this to the church because it's so bad. And you have this ability, this opportunity in front of you to be a witness to Jesus. I'm going to skip 9 through 18, and then we're going to close out on this. 19 through 23, I love this. We'll go through it really quickly, and then we'll close out. I promise we won't be here much longer. Now, this was John's testimony. When the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was,
So check it out. You have all these important bigwigs coming to creepy John. Sorry, maybe I'm desecrating John's name. John the Baptist. And they're like, who are you? What kind of threat are you in my life and in my ministry, my role? Because it's very important. So I need to know, are you gonna do anything that might hinder or take away my flock? And the world wants to come to you and say, who are you? Verse 20 says, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I'm not the Messiah. Don't you love that? He knew who he wasn't. He had the repertoire, he had the respect, even though he was an odd man, he had a following. But he knew quickly and confessed freely, it says, I'm not the Messiah. Then they asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? This is the prophet that Moses spoke of. He answered, nope. And then they finally said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Is this unique or what? Like, I see this all the time. Who are you? What kind of job do you have? How rich are you? Are you poor? What's your status in society? Are you a giver or a taker? What's your gender? Are you married? Do you have kids? Like, all of these things. The world is throwing it on. And John goes, nope, not the Messiah. Nope, not the prophet. Nope, not Elijah. And this is what he says, I'm a voice in the wilderness. So maybe there's a little bit of a humble pie here where it's just like we think really highly of ourselves. We think we ought to have this great importance. We ought to have this great platform. We ought to have a voice in every situation. And the Lord's just asking you, would you just be a voice in the wilderness? Would you be a voice in the desert? Would you be a voice in the hard times? Would you be a witness to the light? Would you be a spiritual mother and father where you're at? Parents, would you be the spiritual mother and father that your kids need? I love thinking about this, and we're going to close out in a second. That maybe if you're married in here, you're the perfect spouse. You're the perfect husband for your wife and vice versa. You got kids. You're the perfect parent for your kids. God didn't ask anybody else to parent your own kids. So you can walk with a little bit of confidence in the Lord. So that's right. Nobody's going to parent my kids better than me. They might not like it. But I'm going to parent them as best I can. God's placed you in a certain spot. And to walk in this identity, to know who you are, but know who you're not. I'm not Jesus. I'm not the prophet. I'm not Elijah. I'm a voice in the wilderness. I'm a voice in the wilderness. So just real quick, two key takeaways. Just know who you're not. John knew it. Therefore, I think it sharpened his identity and what he was supposed to do. And then this may be just a question to you. What needs to happen in your life to remove the barriers of who the Lord is speaking to you? What needs to happen for you to prepare the way of the Lord? I'm a voice in the wilderness preparing the way for the Lord. And the Lord has a plan for you to do that. Can we stand? This is what I do at our church. Can we stand? I want to pray, and then I think someone's coming in to close out. Yes, thank you, Cassidy. Jesus, I just thank you so much for who you are. Lord, I thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you that you know every individual in the room. I thank you for giving us an understanding of who John the Baptist was, and that he was a man who knew his mission. He knew who he wasn't. He knew that he wasn't you, Lord, and he knew that he wasn't the prophet or Elijah. Lord, he just knew that his role was to speak life in the wilderness. And Father, being in Reno, in the desert, Lord, every person we connect with is in the desert. Physically, but really spiritually. Thirsty, parched, dry souls looking for the breath of life, the light of Christ. So Lord, I pray that this Hillside Church would be the beacon. Lord, it would be the lighthouse on the hill that would be the light of Christ within this entire valley. Lord, may Washoe County know who Hillside is because of the people in it that say, I know my role. I am the voice in the wilderness that's going to bring light and life to my friends, to my families, to my coworkers, to those who are hurting and lost and desperate, who need the touch of Jesus far greater than what I could ever do without you, Jesus, making a mark on somebody else's life. Father, we invite you to make a way through our efforts, Lord. But Father, I pray that our eyes would be on you, most of all. That we would know what we are to do and what we are to not do. So speak to us, clarify who you've made us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wow, I received that. You guys received, thank you. Oh, that was great. I was laughing. The more you talked about your story and like the Navy, I was like, man, he needs, my dad and him would really hit it off. My dad got saved in Navy boot camp and then became a pastor after he got out. And
I thought you were calling me old.
Oh, no, he's definitely a lot older than you, but you can still connect. But yeah, I love that message. I'm also passionate about identity. I love that, yes. Especially helping young people. I want them to know who God made them to be, and I want people to experience what I've experienced and learned, and it's amazing. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
If anything jumped out to you about this, if you want to, you know, ask God to help you know who you are and who you aren't, who he made you to be, or anything else, we will have people available for prayer. Louie and Peggy will be back by the white trellis, and I'm just going to close this out with the blessing that Louie prays over us. So if you would prepare yourself to be blessed, just pray this over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. And so thank you all for being here. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's web@hillside4.org.